Last week, Pastor Ryan shared with us, and what a great message that was. And I want to follow up a little bit on his message. I'm going to take a little bit different route, but I want to share with you about some things that I think are very pertinent for what our body is going through. When we experience trials and tribulation, isn't it common to ask questions such as, why God? Or where are you, God? Which was Pastor Ryan's title. Are things like, how come you're allowing this to happen to me? Pastor Ryan shared about Lucky. If you remember what he shared, young woman that he had ministered to while in the service, and she went her way, and several years later, out of the blue, she calls him, and she needs some comfort. She needs some support, and so he was able to give that to her. And that's what we want to talk about today. As people reach out and need comfort, what are we supposed to be doing? Years ago, Deb and I, about 17, 18 years ago now, Deb and I were being called to go on a vision trip to Indonesia. And just before we left for that vision trip, about a month before that, we got the phone call that not any parent, not one parent, would desire to have. Dad, pray. Summer is not breathing. Boy, that hit like a ton of bricks. And as the night wore on, our emotions ran away because we were a ways away. And then we found that Summer, our 60-day-old granddaughter, had passed away. We went through all the events that take place after that. And then my daughter and I were talking one day, and she was sharing with me that she was crying out to the Lord in the shower, of all places, asking those questions. Why me? Why us? Why Summer? She shared God's response to her that day, and I have to tell you that it's impacted my life in a great way. I work in hospice, you know. I see, hear about death every day. But a 60-day-old baby, how do you make sense of it? How do you deal with something like that? So our daughter shared, when she asked, why me, what God's response was. And that's the title of our message today. God said to her, as she cried out, why not you? Why not you? You know, that's pretty powerful. Why not us? Why not Christians? If Christianity, becoming a Christian, was nothing but easy, everybody would be a Christian, right? Everybody would think, oh, that's what I need to do because it's not difficult. But we have an enemy that knows that if things are too easy, that he's going to make them difficult for us, and he's not going to allow that to happen. Satan is the prince of the world, and he's not going to allow us to walk through life without trials and tribulation, because his purpose is to take our attention off of God. God's not the author of evil, nor is he the author of the trials and tribulation. James 1:13 says, God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. When mankind fell in the garden, our enemy, who walks around seeking whom he may devour, became the author of lies, became the author of evil and the attacks that happen in our lives. But God, in his infinite wisdom, gave us the ability to be comforted. And that's our message today. Talking about comfort. Talking about who God is as he comforts us. As my daughter shared God's response to her cry, God wants us to know that when he responds to us in a similar manner, when you go through a trial, why not you? That God is there to provide comfort to our struggling heart. Well, let's pray over the message and then we'll read our text, which is out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Let's pray. Father, our church is going through some interesting times, Father, and not only is our pastor, but many people within our body. And I pray, Lord, that today, that as you speak to our body about your comfort, that you would give us tools and that you would give us each other to be comforted by. Lord, bless this message that your name would be glorified. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen. So if you have your Bible open, if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm just going to read through the verses for our text this morning, and then we'll go back and talk a little bit about them. It says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many." I want to look at the four precepts of comfort in our text. But before we do that, I want to identify some of the reasons why we experience trials and tribulation and suffering. The first reason is to glorify God. In John chapter 9, if you remember the story, the disciples were walking by and there was a blind man and he was crying out. And the disciples said, "Who sinned? Was it his parents or was it him?" And Jesus responded by saying, "Neither. He was blind so that God could be glorified." You see, there are times in life where God desires to glorify a situation for himself. Jesus not only was able to take that man and heal his blindness, but he gave him the ultimate healing. He allowed him to be saved. One of the reasons we experience trials and tribulation is to glorify God. Second reason is we make foolish decisions, don't we? If you remember our good friend Jonah, God said to him, "I want you to go right here." And Jonah, in his infinite wisdom, just like you and I, went the opposite direction. And in doing that, going the opposite direction, what happened to Jonah? Jonah is next seen crying out in a big fish. You see, sometimes we go opposite of what God wants us to do, and there are consequences to that. And those consequences are things that we brought upon ourselves because we're not hearing, we're not listening to God. And so one of the reasons that we find ourselves in the midst of a big fish and crying out to God is we chose that. A third reason is because we're obedient to God. That seems kind of strange, but think about that. Jesus was obedient to God the Father. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Rick was teaching, and he shared the scripture that Jesus said, "Lord, take this cup away from me, but not my will, your will be done." And because he was willing to do that, out of his obedience, he went through unbelievable trials and tribulation. And then a fourth reason that we see trials and tribulation is because God allows Satan to attack us. You think about Job, and you know, the whole story of Job is kind of difficult at times to deal with, but in the first part of that, Satan is walking in heaven with God, and God says, "Look at my servant Job." And Satan says, "Well, of course. You don't let anything touch him. You got a hedge of protection about him." Just like we were just talking about, if Christians didn't have difficulty in their life, that everything would be smooth and all of that. Well, Job was experiencing that. And Satan said, "Let me attack him. Let me go after him." And God said, "Okay, you go ahead and do that. Just protect his person." Well, we know the story. And Satan did do that. And yet Job stood firm. So sometimes the Lord allows us to go through things, not because he's the author, but because we are in a spiritual battle with an enemy. A fifth reason is to test and refine us. No Christian wants to hear that. But as we walk through our daily walk, we're being refined. And some of the things that we deal with, we don't like. And yet, what Peter said in 1 Peter 1:7, he said that our faith will be tested by fire. That's refining. So as all Christians are being refined through the testing of our faith, the purpose is to refine us to glorify God. A sixth reason is life. You know, it's kind of abnormal for a 60-day-old baby to go to heaven. It's not as abnormal for a 100-year-old person. That's kind of a normal process of life. And so as we walk through life, we're going to hit some things that, you know, are uncomfortable because we get older. Now, I'm not getting older, but there are some people sitting in here that are, and I listen to them, and they talk about their aches and their pains and their this and their that. Amen? It's true. Normal life brings about some trials and tribulation. Amen? And then the seventh reason is that it strengthens our faith. In James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it talks about that the testing of our faith produces patience. So as our faith gets tested, as we go through difficulties, we're being tested to develop patience. And then it goes on in that verse and talks about perseverance. We're being strengthened in our patience and our perseverance. One of the things I would share with you is be careful when you pray for patience. Because God will give you that. And when he gives you that, you're not always going to enjoy that process. But it is a process that we all will go through. So those are seven reasons that we go through trials and tribulation. Some of them are normal. Some of them we bring upon ourselves. But the simple fact is that as we walk through this life, we're going to experience trials and tribulation. Isn't that what John 16:33 says? In this world, you will have tribulation. Larry and I were talking this morning that who we were many years ago as a Christian is not who we are now. Now, I would venture to say that anybody here that believes that Jesus Christ is their Savior, that when they first were saved and where they're at now, that you're different. You're different because you've gone through a process of maturity. And so, wouldn't you like to know what you know now back when you were first saved? Gosh, wouldn't that kind of blow through some of the difficulties that you chose to walk through? Or some of the life decisions that you made that were not always according to God's will and purpose? Experiencing trials, tribulations, and struggles while we're here on earth basically refines every one of us to become holy as God is holy. We read that in 1 Peter 1:5, that God desires us to be holy. And without walking through some of the difficulties that we walk through, it's pretty difficult. You know, people that have not experienced a lot of trials and tribulations as Christians, and they walk and they don't understand why you struggle sometimes with just your faith because everything's great with them. We have a sister-in-law that, I have a sister-in-law, it's Deb's sister, but that has experienced that. Her life for a long period of time was just easy and seemed to be without difficulty. And then they got older. And now the things that they're facing are a major struggle. And you know, some of those things that they now have to deal with, the Lord is developing in them a trust in who He is. In this world, you will have tribulation. And so, in our text, I want to look at four precepts of comfort. A precept is a principle. It's a guideline. It's something that we can stand upon. So let's go back to our text and read out of verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies." Paul starts off this letter, second letter to the Corinthians, basically saying, praise to God. Blessed equals praising. And you know, a lot of times we will say prayer changes things, doesn't it? It does change things because God gives us that ability to interact with Him at any time. You know that? One of my favorite scriptures is when Nehemiah went before the king to ask the king to be able to do something for the rebuilding of the temple. And so it says in Nehemiah that Nehemiah is invited by the king to share what's on his heart because something's wrong. And the scripture says Nehemiah prayed. You know, we don't have to go into a prayer closet and go and pray for millions of years or a full day. We can be prayed up and walk and say, God, help me. God, show me. God, direct me. And that's what Nehemiah did. And that's what Paul is talking about here. That as we go and we pray, we're asking for God to do something. So prayer does change things. But you know what else changes things? Praise. It's what Paul is saying here. Praise also changes things. Prayer is lifted up to the Lord for us to say to the Lord, this is what we think. This is what we would ask of you. You know what praise is? When we say praise God, we're actually helping ourselves. Because we're taking our eyes off of whatever that difficulty is, and we're saying, Lord, you're in control. You know better than I. And so as we praise God, We're changing our heart. We're changing our thought process. We're looking at ourselves and saying, Lord, help me. And that's what Paul is doing there. He's saying, Lord, direct. Bless you, Lord. In Psalm 34:1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Goes on and talks a lot more about blessing and praising. But notice that it doesn't follow up and say, when we have a lot. It's not what it says. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. And then in Job 1:21, Pastor Ryan used this scripture last week. It says, the Lord, Job going through the struggles, all kinds of things were taken away, his family, all of his livestock, his just everything pretty much was taken away. And what does he say? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, he was saying, praise you, Lord, not thank you for taking away all of this, but praise you because my heart needs to be in tune with you. And then in Romans 8:32, it says, God did not spare his own son for us. Think about that. God did not spare his own son for us. Shouldn't we praise him for that? Because he allowed his son to come to this earth to take every single one of your sins, past, present, and future, and forgive them. He did that for you. Shouldn't we be thankful to God for that? And that's what Paul is trying to say, that we should be have a heart of praise. He is also the Father of mercies. And boy, thank God that he is full of mercy. Amen? You know, I struggle with that sometimes because I'll be honest with you. There are some people in Iran that I don't like. Just reading newspapers and stuff. But I just saw something that's coming out. And do you know that Iranians are coming to know Jesus Christ in droves right now? And what that did to me is convict my heart. Yeah, I'm still a human. If you don't believe that, you can ask Deb. She can tell you all the faults. But we need to be in prayer. We need to understand that God is full of mercy. That's why we're sitting here today, his mercy. But his mercy hasn't stopped. His mercy desires that everyone come into a relationship with him. Everyone. Even the person that you like the least. God wants you to be in prayer. There's still hope for that person because he is God of all mercies. He's the Father of mercies. All right, so let's look at the four precepts. The first one is God is the source of comfort. Find that out of verse 3. And it says at the end, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. God's the source of comfort. There are two things that it is said of God that he has a monopoly on. There's much more, but two solid things. One, all grace comes from him. And the second one, all lasting comfort comes from him. When you think, when the first thought you have when you face a trial or a tribulation is what? Think about that question for a minute. What do you think of the first time you experience a trial? You don't have to shout it out loud. And I ask you that question because Deb and I went and saw the movie Overcomer. If you haven't seen that movie, go see it. And in that movie, there's a question that is asked. And that question is, who are you? Who are you? And the man rattles off a bunch of things. And it hit me as I was studying that we need to be confronted with that ourselves. When we experience a trial or a tribulation, who do we call on first? Who do we go to first? And I don't know how you answered that question, but I'll have to tell you that the majority of us would say, my spouse, my colleague, my pastor, my whatever. And the greatest answer in all of that is my Father. That's who I should be calling on first. The Greek word for comfort is parakaleio, and it means to come alongside. To come alongside, to be there. Because I work in hospice, I get to see a lot of staff minister to patients and families that have some pretty significant problems, right? Terminal illnesses. And I can remember times when I've watched a chaplain go in and minister to a family that is just chaotic and grieving, and they bring a sense of peace. They bring a sense of compassion. They bring a sense of comfort. That's what God is calling us to look at. He is that source of comfort. That comfort is also described in Isaiah 66:13. And that passage talks about a mother's comfort for a child that is struggling. You ever seen that? You ever seen a mother, or in our case, a grandmother? I watch Deb all the time when one of our grandkids falls and skins their knees. I just say, yeah, you'll be all right. Deb, of course, goes and puts her arms around and kisses and hugs and does those things that are very compassionate, very comforting. That's Isaiah 66:13. It talks about a mother's care for a child that is facing trials and tribulation. God is the source of that comfort. He created it. He knows how to give it. And that's where we need to go. That's where we need to cry out first. We have to know who Creator God is in our heart in order to receive a comfort that is beyond anything that we can understand. Think about that. God is the source of comfort. So we should look to Him first when trials come. The second precept, found in the first part of verse 4, God comforts us in all tribulations. Verse 4 says, who comforts us in all our tribulation. All means most of them, right? Doesn't mean most of them. It means every single one of them. And you know, aren't we individualistic at times? You know what, Lord? This one's not really that difficult. I got it. Or, you know, on the other hand, my gosh, that one's so hard, God, you can't do it. I need my pastor to tell me what exactly I should do. Or I need somebody to come in and give me that answer. It's not what Scripture says. It says all tribulation. Anybody here ever gone through a tribulation? Yeah, we all have. And if you haven't, please come talk to me afterwards, because I want to find out what you're doing right or wrong. Whatever, Mike. Mike was back there saying he doesn't go through them. And I know better because I know him. 1 Peter 4:12 says that Peter, the Apostle Peter, knew that fiery trials were coming to the church. He knew they were. And just as we as Christians can know that we're going to face trials and tribulation, we need to prepare ourselves. And what's interesting, the sister-in-law that I was talking about earlier, the positive thing for them is they were students of the Word. And so when things started to happen, they had a foundation to go back to. And that's what we can know in our Father. Because He's the source, He's also our resource. It's not a matter of if you're going to face them, by the way. It's a matter of when, how many, how difficult, and how long. Because a trial doesn't just happen and then it's over with, does it? It can hang on for a period of time. It's interesting. I've been looking at heaven. No, I'm not planning to go there tomorrow unless the rapture comes. But there are crowns that we will receive in heaven as rewards from being a Christian. One of the crowns, as I've studied, is the crown of glory. And that's an interesting crown. We find it in 1 Peter 5:4. It's an interesting crown because it's really a crown of service, of doing for others, of giving to others, of ministering to others. Comfort is something that we can do. And so that crown is available to us, but we have to choose to serve. So God desires that we understand his heart and that we go to him and that we are blessed by him as the source in every single tribulation that we experience. You know, missionaries, people talk about, you know, how interesting missionaries' life is. And it is. There are times when you go through things that you don't really want to go through. Deb and I and Brandon were had a team one time, and we were up on a mountain in a mountain village, and we had just done all kinds of ministry. Optometry, dental, we did some physical, and we even saw a 100-year-old Balinese man come to know the Lord. So we were finishing up and we were going down, and the very same people that we ministered to had dug an ambush for us. And I have to tell you that we kind of were concerned about life, you know, our lives at that point. And what God did is to send this older Christian Balinese man to not only comfort us, but to take the brunt of what was going on. God works through his people to give comfort. And I share that with you for this purpose. That same comfort that is given to those on the mission field, because a lot of times they're on that front line in a different place, is available to us every single day. And it's available to us because if you're a Christian, you're on the front line. I don't know if you knew that or not, but you're on the front line of sharing who Jesus Christ is, of showing who Jesus Christ is, and working towards, not that we earn our crowns, but working towards the ministry of the saints as well. I think the question that we have to look at when we think about comfort is, are we going to become bitter or better? Are we going to become a victim or an overcomer? And that's an extremely important thing, because trials and tribulation are designed ultimately by the enemy to take our eyes off of God the Father, off of Jesus Christ, off of sharing Jesus Christ. That's what they're designed for. That's what the enemy wants to do. And if you haven't seen and paid attention to the world today, boy, is he out there working hard to totally take us away from looking at Jesus Christ. Even within the church. Even within the church, there are things happening under the church umbrella that are scary. And so our eyes need to be directed back to the source of comfort. Paul, in verses 8 and 9, he talks about experiencing great tribulation, even to the point of death. I mean, think about Paul thinking that he was going to die, and he was crying out to God. He was a man that faced tribulation often. And in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, it really talks about all the things that he experienced. He thought he was going to die at this time. He thought that there was something that was going to take him out. And yet, he says in verse 9 this. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. God comforts us in all tribulation, even to the point of thinking that we might pass. And yet, there's a design for that. God desires us to get out from dependence upon us and depend upon him. And as we talked about, you know, when you first became a Christian, that probably wasn't at the forefront of your mind. It should be, as you grow as a Christian, at the forefront, because it should be less of us and more of him. And that's part of maturing as a Christian. When a person experiences trial and tribulation, when you experience that, who do you call out to first? God gives us comfort in every trial that we will experience. Alan Redpath, a great author, has written some very good books. He said this, God has one great purpose for his people above everything else. It is to destroy in us forever any possible confidence in the flesh. It is to bring us to the place where self-confidence has passed into history and has been exchanged for a confidence in God who raises the dead. God desires that we give up dependence upon our abilities, our choices, and depend upon him, for him to direct us in everything. And again, when we were younger in Christ, you probably didn't believe that God's concerned with every decision, every step that I take. But I'll tell you, because I didn't, I'll tell you, I believe that now. I believe that God knows and desires everything about us. He wants to direct it. He wants us to depend upon him. So no matter what your trial, God wants your complete trust. And all along the way, he'll provide you with his comfort. The third precept is God's comfort enables us to comfort others. We find that in the latter part of verse 4. It says, first, let's read 4, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You see, his comfort is provided in us, for us, not only for our comfort, but for the benefit of others. It's not only for ourselves. And you think about it, who better to comfort a mom who loses a baby than somebody that has? And I know that over the years, watching our daughter and son-in-law go through the difficulties, it was a blessing to see how they began to minister. But I want to share something that's important here, and that is timing. When a person is going through a difficult time, it generally, at the forefront of that, at the initial part of that, it's not the best to go up to them and say, man, you're going through this, but guess what? In a little bit, you're going to be able to minister to others. You know, I think of Pastor Rick and the struggles that he's going through. It's not the best thing for me to go to him and say, man, as you go through this, you're going to be able to minister even better down the line. That's harsh. And I know for Deb and I, as we went through the loss of a grandchild, and it's not the same as losing a child, that people said some pretty stupid things. Christians did. They would come up and say to our daughter and son-in-law, you know, after a month or so, aren't you over this yet? That happens in trials and tribulation. And Christians need to be cognizant of that and discerning of that. There's a time to be able to use this scripture productively. And there's a time when it is not productive, it's harmful. And so you need to have discernment. I've heard of people that have lost a loved one, and people that come up to them will say things like, you know, I experienced the same thing, and I know that you're going to get through it because God loves you. Well, God does love them, but when we're grieving and we're hurting, it's not always the best time to use words to try to give comfort. It may be the time to pray and to just sit beside them. I call that, in a chaplain standpoint, the power of presence, being there. The power of presence. Because when you experience a real traumatic, difficult time, and I have to tell you, I've done that in my life. One of the things that was difficult for me was for people to come up and say, it's going to get better, don't worry about it. It's going to be okay, don't worry about it. I probably know that here, but in here, I'm really hurting, you know? All I want you to do is just maybe hug me. Or all I'm wanting to do is for you to say, I love you, you know? I don't need you to have this memorized and to give me all of it. God allowed us to grieve for a purpose. That doesn't take away with what our third precept is. We need to use discernment. Statistics say that 85% of the parents who lose a baby will divorce. They'll divorce. It's such a traumatic, difficult thing. And so we need to be able to wrap our arms around and support somebody through something as traumatic as that, are traumatic in their own life the way they see a trauma. We need to come in because, quite honestly, we're called to do that. It's one of the reasons why people that come out of a drug addiction and they go through, you know, a process of healing are great counselors in the drug addiction field. I, quite honestly, don't know how to go through withdrawals. But I know personally people that have gone through it, and I know that they are able to minister to somebody because they've been through that. And that's what God is saying, not the drug addiction, but the utilizing of comfort to comfort others. And then our fourth precept is God empowers others to provide comfort. I'm going to skip down to verse 11, and it says, you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. You see, God calls us to love the brethren. God calls us to minister to others. In Philippians 1:19, it says, for I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance, Paul speaking, through your prayer and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Prayer is a way to give comfort to another. Presence is another way. And as Christians provide comfort through words and touch and prayer, a fellowship, a special fellowship, develops. Paul experienced this as he thought he was going to experience a trial even to the point of death. And so what God is telling us is that he empowers others to provide comfort. You're one of those. A lot of people will come up in a church and they'll say, what can I do? You know, I can't preach. I can't do this. What can I do? Here is one of the easiest, most blessed ways for you to work in church, and that is to provide comfort for another through your prayer, through your presence, through a meal. Those things that people need during a time of difficulty, that's what we need to be doing. And I've been talking a lot about kind of a trauma trial. But you know what? When you think about it and your teenage daughter breaks up with their boyfriend, that's a trauma. And we need to be able to love and help them walk through that and not be crass. To be loving and caring. God calls us and empowers us to provide comfort for those going through trials and tribulations. I want to give you three applications because I'm running out of time and I have a couple more pages, but I'm going to short circuit it. I want to give you three applications that I want you to hear. The first one is you can expect tribulation. John 16:33 says it. In this world, you will have tribulation. He doesn't say maybe. He says you will have it. And, you know, I don't know everybody well here, but I do know that we've gone through, as a church, some tribulation. Expect tribulation. Second application is to experience God's comfort and trust in his comfort. In other words, go to God with your trials. Experience what he will do. Have him be the first that you go to. And the third application is to express his comfort to others. Bob Benson said this, when life caves in, you do not need reasons, you need comfort. You do not need some answers, you need someone. And Jesus does not come to us with an explanation. He comes to us with his presence. God is the source of comfort. God comforts us in all trials. God's comfort enables us to comfort others. God empowers others to provide comfort. You know, our church has gone through some interesting times. And as we sit here, I know that there are people that have had losses in their family. I know that there are people that are struggling with jobs and difficulties. Our pastor is dealing with his mom and what's happening. And I want us to be cognizant, aware of the fact that each one of us has a responsibility. And that's to reach out and comfort each other. And I'll tell you this morning what I want to do. I'm going to close in prayer. But I'm also going to ask Pastor John, Deb, and some of the elders to come up here. Because there are some hurting people in our body. And you know what God's calling you to do? Come and be prayed over. Come and allow the body of Christ to pour into you. When we face trials and tribulations, sometimes it seems like it's insurmountable. But here's the thing that you can walk away from. You, if you believe Jesus Christ as your Savior, you serve Creator God. He knows every part of who you are, of your decisions, and what you're going through. And he can comfort you. He created comfort. And so this morning, I'm going to ask you to continue to pray for Pastor Rick and their family and Phyllis. But our body needs to minister, maybe to you. And so I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to close after I pray and ask some of our leaders to come up. Or I'll tell you what, turn next to a person next to you. Because if you're hurting and this has touched you about comfort and you need it, don't leave here without it. One of the things I didn't talk about that Paul was concerned about was pride. And so God uses people, empowers people to minister, because that's who we should be as Christians. God gives us the ability to comfort because of our relationship with him. Let's pray. Father, as we take this opportunity just to hear from you, I pray, Father, that you would minister to this body, that you would give us, Father, just the comfort that each of us needs. We know, Father, that within our body that there are people that are struggling. And Lord, I pray that this morning that you would meet them, that you, as the source of comfort, would wrap your arms about them and minister to them in such a powerful way that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt your greatness and your goodness. And Lord, there are some that struggle because, Lord, it's been so long in dealing with something. That doesn't take you by surprise. You know what they're going through. And so this morning, Father, I pray that you would touch our body and those that might be listening, that you would minister to them and through them. I pray, Father, for Pastor Rick and family, that you would just anoint them with your presence. I pray, Father, for those people that are here that need your touch, that you would anoint them with your power. And I pray, Father, for your body to touch somebody next to them. Bless us to be a blessing, Father. Bless our week. Bless us, Lord, that we would be a powerful ambassador for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.